Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BCNN1's The Gospel According to Greenleaf, episode number 28. This episode is titled Why Pastor Grace G.G. Greenleaf Should Not Become the New Pastor of Calvary Church, along with other subjects. In these two episodes, that is the two episodes before the break, there's been a push for Pastor Grace G.G. Greenleaf to take over as pastor of Calvary Church. Following the investigation by the IRS, which revealed that the Greenleafs owe major back taxes, which we're very surprised about, since most churches are tax exempt. Be that as it may, some have suggested to Bishop James Greenleaf that the only way for the church to retain its good name is for new leadership to take over the church after the bishop and first lady address the IRS investigation and surprisingly announced their divorce before the church congregation, which they did on last night, the first week of October, on Wednesday night. And we will address that, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, on next time. Lady May Greenleaf, of course, believes that she should be the one to take over the church, somehow foolishly thinking that when a husband and wife get a divorce, everything should be split down the middle, including the church. However, the show appears to be setting up their daughter, Pastor Grace G.G. Greenleaf, to fill this role, deaconess or trustee. Connie tells Lady May this to her face, declaring that Grace is the only, if you will, disinterested party, after which May accuses her daughter of plotting a coup, wow, in the church. While Grace may not be plotting a coup, the show, or at least it appears that Grace is not plotting a coup, but you never know with a Jezebel, a woman with the Jezebel spirit. The show does seem to be setting her up. The directors and writers seem to be slowly but surely setting her up to take over the church, with Pastor Grace G.G. Greenleaf asking her boyfriend in passing, "Would you like to be the first gentleman at the church?" And he's lost as Hogan's goat. He is lost as Jesse Jackson in a KKK meeting. He is lost as a goose in the Kentucky Derby, not only lost, but an atheist, at least an agnostic. He's not even close to being born again, calling her a hypocrite because, as you know, she's whoring around with him. Be that as it may, while Pastor Grace Gigi Greenleaf may not be plotting a coup, the show, that is, the directors, the creator, Mr. Wright, and the writers, are slowly but surely setting her up to take over the church. Whether she does so willingly or seemingly unwillingly, there are four serious problems with this. First, as we said last time, Pastor Grace Gigi Greenleaf is a whore. The boys in the hood would call her a hoe, and is living in fornication with the investigative journalist Darius Nash, or should we call him Narius Dash? Oddly, with all of the rebukes and biting, sharp remarks that are slung from scene to scene on this church show, Grace's ongoing fornication with Darius Nash, who, as sure as I am black, will betray her and the church, has escaped scrutiny. Why? Why is that? Because, as we touched on last time, the people directing and writing this show know that in most churches, particularly black churches, women in leadership can be whorish, committing adultery, committing fornication, and they get away with it, even with the pastor's knowledge and the pastor's wife's knowledge. Oftentimes with the pastor being involved with one or two of them, sad to say. While the men who are whoremongers and whoremongering around will be crucified and shamed, not only before the congregation, but before the community, it is a double standard. Obviously, living in unrepentant sin of any kind is automatically disqualifying for anyone seeking to lead a Bible-believing church. And if you're not believing the Bible, you're not a church, by the way. First of all, the pastor, who should be a male, must be the faithful husband of one wife, and the wife must be female. If single, as the Apostle Paul was, the pastor must refrain from sexual immorality of any kind. Number two, not only is Pastor Grace Gigi Greenleaf living in sin and is a hypocrite and was called so by her boyfriend Darius Nash, but she is also a nauseating busybody in other people's matters. She walks about with the typical air of someone trying to fix all of the problems in the Greenleaf family and in the church. Always walking around with that concerned, worried look on her face, like the burden of the world is on her shoulders, not realizing that it is the burden of her own sin on her shoulders. People can be pretty and wicked as the devil. Do not be deceived. Don't these people make you sick? They make you want to roll your eyes real hard from the right to the left. and then blow, as somebody I know. She is quick to advise and rebuke other greenleafs, and come on with that fake concern that her sister Charity spurned when she came with that mess. She is quick to advise and rebuke other greenleafs and their associates, but she ignores her own conniving, wicked life. Do you know anybody like that in your church? It is a classic example of what Jesus warned against. In fact, I'm preaching a series of subjects right now dealing with it. And that is judging someone for the mote in their eye while one has a beam in their own eye. My God, help us. The devil is a lie. And I'm just saying that because that's what the old folks used to say. You know it. Although, to be fair, it seems as though most of the people on Greenleaf are carrying about pretty big beams in their eyes. Nobody has a mote, especially in the Greenleaf family. Number three, the directors and writers and the creator, Mr. Wright, of the show, are slowly but surely setting up Grace to be the hero of the homosexuals who want to be members of Calvary Church. Don't be shocked when you see a scene of the abomination of the homosexuals come marching in to defile Calvary Church. Or shall I say Calvary's church? Unless the writers and directors and Mr. Wright take our wise advice and stand with God and the majority of God's church against true church, that is now. Every church is not a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even lost people know that. And the majority, rather, of God's church against the sin that is true church, an abomination of homosexuality and its wicked agenda to turn God's world upside down. We do hope that they will repent for their own good. For their Christian audience are very funny people. They vote with their feet and won't tell you a thing. If Pastor Grace G.G. Greenleaf takes over the church, it is very likely that she will open up membership for people who are openly living in the abomination and sin of homosexuality, including so-called married homosexuals, to join the church and to lead in the church. It will be a homosexual takeover if they don't confess their sins and repent. While every church should aim to reach all people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no church should allow people who are living in open sin to become members of the church or to lead in the church. This includes adultery and fornication, as well as many other sins. It's one thing to sin, is another thing not to repent or be willing to repent of your sins. As we mentioned in the 11th episode of this podcast series during season 2, the example of Watermark Church in Dallas, Texas provides a good example for all churches to follow when dealing with this matter. The church revoked the membership of a member who refused to repent of the sin and abomination of homosexuality. And some are saying, well, it's just a man having some type of sex with another man, or a woman having some type of sex with another woman. What's the big deal? Well, this particular sin carries with it so many other things, and one of them is overlooked. It is a direct attack against God and His creation. It is an attempt. It is a satanic, demonic attempt, to turn God's world upside down on his head. And God does not like that. And in addition to that, that sin, if passed on and increased in society, can eventually destroy the human race all by itself. It is an abomination. It's not only a sin, but an abomination. Anyway, in a statement, the church, that is the Watermark Church, said, following the example of Jesus, Watermark loves and welcomes people of all backgrounds, economic statuses, ethnicities, sexual orientations, and struggles. Also, following his example, we encourage people to turn away from sin and to follow Jesus. As directed by Scripture, Watermark makes a distinction between regularly attending and being a formal member of our church. We don't remove someone's formal status as a member for struggling with sin, whether that sin is pride, materialism, or sexual sin. Every member of Watermark needs God's grace to stand firm in the midst of temptation and His forgiveness for the times we fall short. An individual's formal relationship with us as a member is only changed when someone no longer desires to resist the temptations to sin and or refuses our help, our care, and our encouragement. Even if someone's formal membership status is removed, our desire is to continue to love and care for them, and they are always welcome to attend Watermark and be reminded of the grace and truth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It will be a shame if the most successful mainstream television show, ladies and gentlemen, that was the end of that letter, and I'm talking again to you. It will be a shame if the most successful mainstream television show about the black church in recent history becomes a vehicle for pro-homosexual propaganda and used to influence the thinking of thousands and possibly millions of individuals on this matter. And may I say to my lovely sister Oprah that she will be held accountable. She will answer to God, and so will Mr. Wright, who claims to be a Christian as well. Your personal opinions do not matter. It makes no difference how powerful you think you are. All that matters is God's word on the subject. Now, fourth and finally, Greenleaf casts the running of the megachurch as a family affair, that the family is the permanent leaders, if you will, of the church. Church leadership should never be dynastic or kept all in the family like a business can. The church is God's church, not one family's church. And every family slash church that tries to do that ends in disaster. The church is not a monarchy. And I don't know all about this, but recently a church in South Carolina said Jesus Christ is the pastor, and so he is. While there are many examples of parents, children, spouses, and siblings all being engaged in ministry together, it is not true that just because God calls the husband and father to serve as pastor, that his wife is called, contrary to what some have stated, and contrary to some who have stretched the Word of God to say that. That is not the case. That wife is called only to be that man's wife, not even the first lady. There's no such thing in the Bible. And certainly not co-pastor, which some people have ridiculously tried to do. Nor his child or children. Again, this is not a monarchy. Or any other member of his family is called by association. In fact, this is very, very rare. And I would venture to say that God intentionally, in many cases, prevents this from happening. The pastor's wife, being the first lady, does not automatically, the so-called first lady, does not automatically qualify her to be pastor when her husband dies. Oftentimes, when that is attempted, it is an unmitigated disaster. Or if they get a divorce, same thing, and he decides to step down, whatever the case. She is not to take over as pastor of the church. Family ties do not automatically carry over into the church. And many current church leaders need to stop trying to enlist their uncalled, unqualified family members into church leadership. It is quite disgusting. And turns out very badly. Relation by blood does not necessarily a great leader make. And we have found this out many, many times, haven't we? But yet we like royalty, don't we? Be that as it may, in closing, my beloved, let me say here that our dear sister Oprah needs to get rid of the current director and writers, the creator of the series, Mr. Wright, who are trying to take the Greenleaf show into a dark Deep Six direction. We would lovingly encourage our dear sister Oprah to get the Blue Bloods creators, Robin Green and Mitchell Burgess, if she can, or the Good Wife creators, Robert and Michelle King, to take over the show and slowly but surely turn this ship around, the old ship of Zion, and have the Greenleaf family become a force for good, dealing with other people's drama, like the Blue Bloods family and the Good Wife. For in most cases, the pastor's family is not a force for evil, but a force for good, dealing with everybody else's evil. It is time for the Greenleaf family to get their act together and not be the drama and become solvers of the people's drama or other people's drama, as is the case with most pastors and their families. The show will be more honoring to God, I do believe, and more honoring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that Oprah wants to do that. And here's something else that Oprah wants, and that is for this show, even though the characters are mostly black, the show will expand, I believe, the audience to not only mostly black, but to everybody, because similar to, and I hate to bring it up, similar to the Bill Cosby show and how it impacted the entire nation and not just the black church family or the black community. And so I believe the show will be more honoring to God and more honoring to Jesus Christ and will expand the audience to not only mostly black, but to everybody else, because it is based upon biblical principles of doing good by the few to solve the problems of the many, such as Blue Bloods and The Good Wife. If you look back in history, God has used not necessarily groups of people, but God has used families to make a huge impact upon society and the world. Think about the Kennedys, think about the Kings and others. Besides that, you are going to run out of storylines, Mr. Wright and others, focusing on one family. How much drama can one family produce trying to take them deep six? Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, Lord, we thank you for the massive creative abilities that you've given to so many of us and how we can create things to expand and build up the kingdom. And at the same time, Lord, create things to help us stay on the right track. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon us all and forgive us of our sins and help us to learn from everything you want us to learn from, and help us to repent where we need to repent, help us to get right where we need to get right, and help us all to do the right thing based upon your holy word, so that in the end lost souls will be saved and Christians will be revived and your holy name glorified and Jesus Christ exalted and Satan horrified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, because through your name we're going to tear Satan, we're going to tear down your kingdom. Amen. And then, beloved, in closing, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be forgiven of your wicked sins of the past, no matter how dark. God is available to hear your prayer of confession and to hear you ask to be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell and separation from God. And you can begin a light-filled relationship with God Almighty today. First, beloved, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have done some bad things. You have broken the commandments of God, and so have I, and so has the Pope. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, beloved, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Every time we die physically because of sin, and we go to hell to burn forever, to be tormented forever because of our sin. God does not put us into hell. We put ourselves into hell because of our sin. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ, the loving Lord of glory, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news, and I know most people do not want to hear any bad news. But you have to hear the bad news, because the good news is good news because there is bad news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe, dear friend, in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for your sins and for mine. He died on the cross for our sins here. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, your sins and mine. And all we have to do is trust in him and believe in him, and believe that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and me, so that we can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart, dear friend, today, and he will. And please believe these words found in Romans 10:9-13. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. And so, dear friend, if you believe right now in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. Even some of the sins that are being brought out in this show called Greenleaf. I am sorry for my sins. And today, Holy Father God, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. I believe with all of my heart that you died for me, was buried, and rose again. Now, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you for the rest of my life, for your glory, praise, and honor. And from this point on, be the shining light you want me to be. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you. We look forward to seeing you for the next Gospel According to Greenleaf podcast.